Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, August 1st. And we are now in the deadest of dead months for the NBA offseason. Pistons podcast week continuing today, by the way. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, a Pistons follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine this summer. Today we're going to be talking about Johnny Hamilton, the newest pickup for the Pistons. Could he be that second two-way guy for the Detroit Pistons and Grand Rapids Drive this year? We're also going to continue with day three of Pistons podcast week, trying to take a look at your different online audio options out there today. Continuing the week is David Fernandez of the Inside the Cylinder podcast of the Almighty Baller Network. We're going to be talking about the basketball tournament, which continues on Thursday and Friday with the Final Four, with the semifinals and finals there. We're going to be talking to him about that, and along with his work with the Detroit Bad Boys website as well. So another Pistons signing on Tuesday, as we record this. This time it's Johnny Hamilton, the former Texas Arlington player who played with the Pistons in Summer League. He has signed a reported partially guaranteed one-year deal with the Detroit Pistons. Hamilton is a seven-footer who played three Summer League games for Detroit in Las Vegas last month. Now it's last month, as we're now in August. He averaged 4 points and 6.7 rebounds per game in those three games. If you listened to our Summer League recap last month, you would have known that this was a wild card, non-roster guy from the Summer League that I was most excited about in the group. I talked about how this was the guy who I wanted the Pistons to go after. So score one for the scouting eyes of your boy Matt here. He just looks like a very athletic kind of project guy who could develop into something over time, especially given that the Pistons drafted two shooting guards in the second round. I prefer Hamilton over giving the second two-way slot once again to Reggie Hearn from Northwestern, who had one of the two-way slots last year. He's another shooting guard. And that second two-way slot, by the way, is going to go alongside Keenan Evans of Texas Tech, a rookie undrafted guy who was a point guard there. Back to Hamilton. He's from Trinidad. He played a junior college at Jacksonville College in Texas and then went to Virginia Tech after that. He got suspended for a handful of games in his first of two seasons at Virginia Tech because of academics with the Hokies. And then overall, you know, pretty decent season for him off the bench as a reserve center for the Hokies. And then in year two in Virginia Tech, after four games, he ruptured a tendon in his thumb and missed the rest of the season. Became a graduate transfer after that and was able to play right away, finishing his college career at Texas Arlington, where there he set a school record for block shots in a season in his 1 year on campus. He played at UTA with Kevin Hervey, who was picked in the second round of the draft in June by the Oklahoma City Thunder. Hervey was a guy that a lot of Pistons fans were looking at as a possible second rounder for Detroit. Hamilton averaged 11 points, 8 rebounds, and 2.3 blocks per game last year at Texas Arlington. And like we said, a huge project, obviously, but this is what you kind of want with some of these two-way guys. You need depth. You need to roll the dice a little bit. I'm not sure what the terms of the partial guarantee are for Hamilton, but maybe that just means a spot with Grand Rapids was guaranteed as part of the contract and an invitation to camp with the big club as well. And maybe even the two-way contract was guaranteed. We haven't been privy to those details. I'm waiting for more reporters to gather that info, but we'll see if that comes out soon. And like Reggie Hearn, I believe he told Vince Ellis of the Free Press in Las Vegas that as far as he knows, he still has that two-way contract with the Pistons. I don't know if those are one-year deals or what the status of that second two-way contract is, but maybe that will shake out after cuts are made in training camp as well. But hey, again, I like the move. I was talking with James Edwards III on Tuesday night. We did a happy hour here in Royal Oak, but it seems like with the limited flexibility that Ed Stefanski has, he's pushing a lot of good buttons as the new man in charge of the franchise, and it seems like it's a bit of a change. It feels nice and refreshing to have a competent front office making logical moves, doing a little bit of salary cap machinations there to bring in Zaza Pachulia and Jose Calderon to actually free up cap space while you're unloading Dwight Bikes and Eric Moreland, two guys whose ceilings are pretty limited and really probably weren't going to develop into impact players in the league. whereas the veterans might be able to help, and then you can more easily sign your second round picks in Bruce Brown and Kyrie Thomas with that a little bit of freed up space that was made with bringing those veterans in on those deals. But by the way, while we're talking here on Pistons Podcast Week, I did ask James, and he said he's planning on bringing back his weekly athletic podcast when training camp gets going. So as part of Pistons Podcast Week, I wanted to pass that along as well. But as Pistons Podcast Week continues, up next we're going to talk to David Fernandez of Detroit Bad Boys and the Inside the Cylinder podcast as well. But as we've talked about, we're looking for more advertisers here with Locked On Pistons. If your company wants to reach men in that key demo between the ages of 18 and 44, provincial Pistons fans that probably have ties to Metro Detroit and an interest in spending their dollars locally, you should be sponsoring this podcast. 98% men, 80% of those between the ages of 18 and 44, all sorts of daily dedicated listeners. So if you're interested in reaching that group, go ahead and email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
And we are now being joined by David Fernandez, a writer for the Detroit Bad Boys website and also the co-host with Joey Mack of the Inside the Cylinder podcast, a weekly look at the Detroit Pistons through the Almighty Baller Network. David, thanks for joining us here on Locked On Pistons.
Yeah, Matt, it's a pleasure to be on. You know, just kind of with the whole the ecosystem of the Detroit Pistons and coverage, you know, you've always been on my radar, so I'm glad that you've had me on the show or having me on the show.
Yeah, we had Laz on Monday, we had Aaron on Tuesday, and all season it's kind of like, well, I kind of want to call these guys and have them on, but they're competitors, so it's a little bit awkward. But on the other hand, first of all, it's summer, so we don't have much to talk about. But second of all, you know, why not? Why not get all the word out there? We're not going to pretend like the other ones don't exist, and hopefully everyone listens to them all or picks and chooses week to week or day to day or whatever, and maybe go with the ones you like sometimes or maybe the ones you disagree with sometimes too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's, if you're listening to our shows, you're a diehard Pistons fan. So, you know, usually if you're a diehard Pistons fan, you kind of suck up as much content as you can get. And honestly, you know, I've listened to all of them. So I do have an understanding that not everyone's talking about the same stuff. You know, people are seeing different things that are going on with the team or different developments with the roster or guys that they want to see playing that might not agree with, you know, some of the hosts of these podcasts. So I think you always get a fresh perspective because we all cover the game a little bit differently anyways.
That's right. And speaking of some things that are a little bit different, you were over the weekend in Atlanta at the basketball tournament. And why don't you tell us what the basketball tournament is and what that was like to cover those couple rounds of games down there?
Yeah. So the basketball tournament is a semi-new tournament. It's been around for 5 years now. This is the fifth year. It's a $2 million winner-take-all tournament, and it's mostly competed by either overseas players, past NCAA players, or some ex-NBA players, some of which may have retired or some of which that are you know, trying to get their way back into the league. So it's a really ultra-competitive winner-take-all you lose and you're out type of tournament, and it's slated across the whole entire country. So the West has a region, the Midwest has a region, the South has a region, and the East has a region. So each one of these teams, you know, this tournament goes on for a majority of the summer, with a lot of the games culminating where I just was at in Atlanta for the Super 16 and quarterfinal games. So a lot of guys that you'll know if you follow basketball. Like, I know a lot of the people that I follow basketball. You're going to know these players. So it's just an ultra-competitive type of environment.
And one of the teams that's qualifying for the Final Four, which is this weekend in Baltimore, is Eberlin Drive. And they've got a little bit of a fun local story, too. Did you get to talk to some of the other original members from Frazier? And what do those guys think about what's going on with that team?
I didn't have a chance to chat with them. Some of their games didn't line up with my entire schedule that weekend. So they were a little bit tougher. I think they kind of got the shorthand of the time slots, to be honest. But the Eberlin Drive, they're one of the more stacked teams. I was kind of surprised to see that they were going to be slated as a 7 seed going into this tournament. They have a lot of past NBA players. Jeremy Evans, who won the dunk contest in 2012. James Michael McAdoo, a former North Carolina product that played at, you know, most recently on the Golden State Warriors, won a couple championships with them. Willie Reed as well. He had a cup of coffee with the Pistons in that trade for Blake Griffin, and he's been balling on that team too. So this team has been a lot of fun to watch. And their best player, Jerome Randall, has yet to suit up for an NBA team, but he's a guy that if you're watching this tournament, you're going to see him pop when it comes to watching him live.
And but before those guys kind of joined the team, it used to be like a group of guys that grew up in Fraser that played pickup in their little cul-de-sac in Fraser, as far as I can understand. Is that how did it connect from that to, you know, like all these guys, like you mentioned, former dunk champions, former NBA players and guys just on the fringe of the league? What was the evolution like there for that team?
So the way that this whole thing is structured is that there's like an actual general manager of these teams, and there's boosters that are involved too. So which pays for guys to get places to for flights, for hotels. I know that originally the Everland Drive, that group was, since they are more of like a local type of group, like you're mentioning, that they actually, you know, were the worst team in the tournament last year. I think they were bounced pretty early in the last few seasons that they've competed. And last year, as I said, they were the worst team. So, you know, I think that I don't necessarily know how the whole scouting thing goes when it comes to these GMs picking up players. A lot of it is players knowing each other from previous stints in overseas or playing together in college. So I didn't have a chance to ask their general manager how they were able to scoop up all of these, you know, more top level prospects. But the fact that they have is really kind of put them in position to win this whole thing.
Yeah, so if you're a Pistons fan looking for a little bit of a local interest, the Eberlin Drive team, although, like you said, Willie Reed being maybe the only Pistons connection of a former variety, but the team that originated in Fraser and kind of came up through that group there. And the games will be on Thursday night on ESPN, and also the finals Friday night on ESPN out live in Baltimore as well. Real quick, David, who do you like this weekend to win it all, and who are maybe the two or three best players to keep an eye on?
Honestly, the team that has impressed me the most has been Team Fredette. And I don't know if it's a star appeal type of thing because of Jimmer Fredette, but this team has scored by far the most points in the tournament. They're averaging roughly around 102 points per game, or at least they did while they were in Atlanta. They dismantled an Ohio State team that had Jared Sullinger, who's looking like he's in great shape. They had a former number one overall pick in Greg Oden, who's, you know, past his time at this point, but he really was a non-factor in their quarterfinal game, and he was a factor in their Super 16 game. So that, I think that was just more of a testament to the play of Brandon Davies. He formerly played for the Nets and the Sixers. And Jimmer Fredette. Honestly, Jimmer Fredette has been balling out of control in this tournament. He dropped 41 points in their Super 16 game, followed that up with like a 30-point performance in the quarterfinal game. So that's a team that I think if they can get Jimmer Fredette cooking, and they have Brandon Davies, they also have a big man that used to play at Utah. His name is slipping me. Owen Cooney. That's a team that I think is really tough from top to bottom.
And we're here with David Fernandez, writer for Detroit Bad Boys, and also the co-host of the Inside the Cylinder podcast that he does for the Almighty Baller Network. So, David, let's go back. What's your background with the game, and how did you get into writing for the SB Nation site and also getting the podcast going too?
Yeah, so, I mean, I've always been a big basketball fan, been a big Detroit Pistons fan. I played when I was younger, but the way I got invited or got, you know, kind of onto this whole thing, I actually applied for Detroit Bad Boys a few years ago. I've been writing for them for 4 or 5 years now. But the first time I applied, I didn't hear back. I also didn't have any writing samples, so I don't really know what I was doing. And then the second year, I kind of got involved in some social media and had written some of my own articles. It was Stanley Johnson's rookie year, or he was about to be a rookie. So I just sent a lot more writing samples over to Brian Packey, who used to be one of the lead editors at Detroit Bad Boys before Sean Corp took over. They brought me on. And ever since then, you know, I've just been active in writing with the site, been, you know, following games as closely as possible. And then I got scooped up with the Almighty Baller Network just because I had done a couple of radio stints being interviewed. So it's kind of all sort of been a slow, you know, sort of, I don't want to say a rise because I haven't really risen anywhere, but just a slow sort of progression of, you know, working with other writers, learning the NBA community, learning the Detroit Pistons community, And yeah, it's been a blast this whole entire time.
And we were talking a little bit off mic here that we're both Central Michigan alums as well. I'm assuming you maybe grew up in Michigan as well and then moved out to Boston after graduation. Is that right?
Yeah. So I was born in Detroit and I lived there when I was younger. Then I moved to Toledo, Ohio. So most of my life I was living in Toledo, Ohio, which if you know the area, it's 45 minutes south of Detroit. All my family's still in Detroit. And then, yeah, after Central Michigan, I moved out to Boston and I've been out here since 2012. So, but I am going to be moving back to Detroit here after this next year. This is going to be my last year here in Boston. So, but I've been following the team closely. Every time the Pistons play at the Celtics, I go to the game. And I try to make it back to Detroit as much as possible for family. And then also, you know, go check out Little Caesars Arena, go hang out with some friends, you know, all that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I did that for 8 years and now I'm back in Detroit doing it every night, hanging out with friends.
Where were you for the 8 years?
I was I graduated from Central, worked for 4 years in Port Huron, Michigan, but then I moved out of state, lived 4 years in Springfield, Missouri, 3 years in the Virgin Islands and St. Thomas, and then I lived for 2 years in Chicago. I guess I should. I probably have said that a couple times over the podcast, but with people joining in, from time to time or catching an episode here and there, maybe I should talk about that a little bit more. But anyway, I've been gone for 8 years, back in Detroit now, so kind of can be sympathetic to your plight in a good way of how everything's kind of gone being back home. And I listen to the podcast that you guys do weekly, you and Joey Mack, the Inside the Cylinder podcast. For fans that don't listen to it or aren't familiar with it, first of all, how do you find it? And second of all, what can fans expect when they listen to the show?
Yeah, so we're on all most major podcast streams. So iTunes, Stitcher, I use Podcast Addict. I don't know. I might be the only person that uses that platform.
You are the Podcast Addict.
Yeah, I guess so. And then Google Play too. I mean, anywhere that you find it. We're not on Spotify. I think most people aren't at this point. But yeah, anywhere that you go, we'll probably be there. And the format of the show. So I don't want to say I'm not. And there's kind of at least a semi divide when it comes to. At least on the surface of NBA Twitter of deep analytics and deep eye tests, I wouldn't really consider myself, I don't think it's a most serious show. I think Joe and I have known each other for quite some time. We have a really good rapport. We're joking around a lot during the show, but we do take the analysis pretty seriously. So a lot of it is just Joe and I, talking about the Pistons. We have on guests every now and then, some of the same guys I'm sure that you've had on, the beat reporters for the Pistons, other guys from around the league that just kind of give us a different perspective. But it's a fun, more approachable type of show. And it's more of a, I think you'll get a laugh every time you listen to our show for sure.
Yeah, so check it out. And, part of the community of Pistons podcasts and online Pistons content that's out there. Plenty of it, as we've talked about this week. And we're just talking about the audio stuff. There's the Piston Powered's out there, as far as written content as well, in addition to the SB Nation site, Detroit Bad Boys. We've talked about Palace of Pistons that we talked about as well. So plenty of avenues out there. And not only just to take in, but like you said, you got involved and became a writer and maybe did some commenting on some articles as well. And the Reddit threads are full of guys that are knowledgeable and girls that are knowledgeable as well of the game. And it'd be nice to not just have everyone taking and do more giving and taking this year. I would imagine that'd be good for everyone.
Definitely. And I think in general, I think the Pistons community is a pretty awesome community. I really like a lot of the people that are on there. I think everyone, kind of has each other's backs. I remember there was a little stint last year when a lot of Pistons people were getting into it with Sixers people, which was a lot of fun. So I really enjoy the community. And I think that there's a lot of people that are, really skilled that, the Duncan Smith, Shamik Mohile, Laz Jackson, yourself, Aaron Johnson, there's a lot of guys out there that are putting out a lot of good content. So it's really the more the merrier. And if you are, and I've said this so many times on my show, at like the 45th minute of us recording, like if you're hearing this sentence, you are a diehard Pistons fan. If you have made it this far in following our show and in following a particular episode, you're a diehard Pistons fan. So there's so much stuff out there that it's more so how do you spend your time in soaking it all in.
And hopefully the team will give us a little bit more reason to be excited going forward this season. But David, we'll have you on sometime soon and we'll talk Pistons actually. But check him out on Twitter. We mentioned the Sixers versus Pistons Twitter brigade this year. Check him out at the and then the underscore Fernantula, Fernantula, a better Twitter handle than mine, absolutely. But David, I want to thank you for taking the time and good luck with the writing and the podcast, and let's do it again soon.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. And also, I do have an article coming out tonight or tomorrow about the basketball tournament. As you mentioned, the semifinals are Thursday night and the finals are Friday night. So check that out. It's an awesome tournament. If you love basketball, you'll love this tournament.
Thanks again to David Fernandez of the Inside the Cylinder podcast and Detroit Bad Boys for joining us as part of Pistons Podcast Week. I hope you guys have been enjoying being exposed to the other podcasts and hearing about some of your favorite other Pistons podcast hosts joining me here on Locked On Pistons. But this is your host, Matt Shook. You can follow me on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And also give us a like on the Facebook page, Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. And we would appreciate that. Spread the word to your friends about the podcast and enjoy the rest of your summer. And we'll be back with one more podcast on Thursday for the Locked On Pistons podcast week, as it should come to an end then. So thanks for listening, everyone, and enjoy the rest of your day.